Welcome to Local Bitcoiners, a podcast about Bitcoin and Revs. In this episode, Reed and Rev talk with John, Voice, and Brady from the Chicago Bitcoin Collective.
Hey, Local Bitcoiners, Rev Hodel, and as always, back with Reed. In this recording, we are talking with the Chicago Bitcoin Collective. This has been a recording that we've had booked for a long time. We're really excited to talk about it. I am a member of the Chicago Bitcoin Collective, and I'm proud to be. And so it's really cool to have Brady, John, and Foyz on the show to dig into all the cool stuff that's happening over there in Chicago at the Collective. But before we get into it with them, I'm going to tell my most recent meetup adventure story, and that is the social meetup in Grand Rapids at Two Guys Brewing. And it was a pretty just standard issue meetup. I as tradition so far the last several months, I've been bringing compost for the organizer of the meetup, Buffalo. I've been bringing compost to him, so I dropped off another load of compost at his place before I got over to the meetup. Had some good food discussion. As Lake Satoshi is coming up, and so PF, one of the organizers of Lake Satoshi, was back in town, and so he ended up coming to that social meetup, and it was good to get a little bit of an idea of what's going to happen over there at Lake Satoshi. I was asking him, well, are you guys ready? What's going on? He's like, what is there to do? People are just going to show up and we're going to have a killer time. So, the meetup was great. Not too much in particular to talk about there, but the biggest thing is that these meetups keep happening and that I keep going, and so does everyone else. And so that's the idea here. This is a place where we can go get together and build cultural capital. Reed, how about you? What's been going on?
Yeah, man. So I've mentioned it the last few episodes, but our next meetup is coming up on Sunday, July 19th, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., Heavy Culture Cooperative, East Hampton, Mass. I've already mentioned this before. We're going to do the roundtable format. And I sent out my message to everybody today asking if they had topics or to start thinking about topics. And I sort of sent out my kind of seed question to get everything kicked off, which is I want to talk about all the stuff that we've been learning here on this podcast about how to mix it up. Like, how do we get some variety like built into the meetup? You know, we've been doing the Socratic seminars for a long time. Now we've got one of these roundtables under our belt. We're going to do it again. But how many ideas have we come up with on this show about different types of meetups? And so I was going to talk about some of those and see if anybody was interested and see if maybe we can get some more, get some more fun, right? Get some more variety. Like mixed into the meetup. So that's going to be my topic, but it's going to be, you know, open session. And I had one other quick story I wanted to tell. This sort of happened in between meetups. So, you know, we've gotten the circular economy going a little bit. And when the very first time I brought up the idea of a circular economy and started talking about how, you know, it doesn't have to be Bitcoin stuff, it could be anything. And one of the guys was like, well, you know, I'd really like to buy a kayak. And it was like kind of jokingly. After the meetup, one of the guys went up to him and was like, hey, actually, I have a kayak that I would be willing to sell you for sats. And so that transaction went down just recently. And the dude who sold it, he took the sats, he donated the sats to the meetup. So it was like half a million sats. So that's going to go into our, you know, our pizza fund and to pay for our meetup.com fees. And we might be having a party this fall. It'll go into that fund. So that's all very well appreciated. And if you're listening, you know who you are. But that was the quick story I had and a success story for our circular economy, getting that going. So, but yeah, really looking forward to this episode. We've been looking forward to this for a long time. So I'll turn it over. John, if you wanted to get us started, introduce yourself, talk about the meetup a little bit, and then kind of hand it off.
Awesome. Thanks, Rev and Reed, for having us on. I'm John Gordon, a co-founder of Sound HSA and Nos Fabrica and here the Chicago Bitcoin Collective and Forking Coin. I'm really, really passionate about building at this intersection of Bitcoin, Noster, and healthcare and really building communities. I lived in Austin, Texas for a couple of years and was working out at the Bitcoin Commons down there. Traveled quite a bit, explored Bitcoin meetups around the world, everywhere from El Salvador and El Zonte to Bitcoin Akasi and other meetups. And coming back to Chicago with my wife and daughter, and now we have a newborn son. I'm proud to father too now, really important to build community in Chicago. And as I'd been in and out of Austin and coming back home, I grew up in the north suburbs. I connected with Foisey here, who was putting on different meetups, really hustling on the cooking side, grilling burgers, going by the lake, doing whatever we could to get Bitcoiners together, and really started connecting with other Chicago Bitcoiners here and saying, hey, why don't we have a physical space in Chicago? It's such a big city and deep history in financial markets and commodity trading. Why isn't there more of a Bitcoin presence other than a BitDevs? And so Foisey and Brady here can give a more background as well. And then three others on our team, Julio, Mike, and Kevin, we all got together and said, hey, let's build get a physical home for Bitcoiners in Chicago. And so we've moved really quickly from an idea a year ago and at an Unchained Golf outing, Julio and I were in a foursome there that Brady actually helped put together, into getting a physical space and now opening up a full service restaurant and Bitcoin hub, the Chicago Bitcoin Collective for Bitcoiners in Chicago. So love for Foisey and then Brady to give some background on themselves, but we feel like we're in the right place at the right time to build the momentum for Bitcoin and in a state that is now particularly unkind to Bitcoin and Bitcoiners. So maybe we'll get into that a little bit too here in Illinois, but it's been awesome connecting and kind of getting people out of the woodworks. We knew Bitcoiners were here and we're seeing it happen in real time.
Yeah. Brady, you want to jump in really quick?
Yeah, of course. John hit the nail on the head there. My name is Brady Puglisi on X on BTC Brady 21. Thank you guys for hosting us today. Me personally, you know, born and raised in Chicago, found Bitcoin mid 2017, really just, you know, been a part of this community for coming up on a decade now. Like John, you know, I've worked at some of these co-working spaces around the country. I lived in Denver, Colorado for a few years and got to work out of the space in Denver. It was just an amazing experience to be around Bitcoiners, whether you're working on the same project or different projects. Me personally, I worked for Unchained, got the experience to work with, you know, full service Bitcoin financial services company, doing everything from multi-signature collaborative custody to Bitcoin-backed loans. As John mentioned, kind of made the introduction between John and Julio last year at the Unchained Golf outing. And, you know, when you put a couple of Bitcoiners together, you're really able to make some magic happen. We bought the building in February. We've been putting in a lot of hard work and ready to open our doors open to the public for our full-service restaurant and bar coming up this weekend.
Nice. Yeah, I'm Foyz. So I'm coming to Chicago. I've been in Chicago for like the past 5 years now by way of the East Coast. So I was in Philadelphia, New York City, hail from Dallas, Texas. So, you know, I've been cooking for pretty much my whole life. I've been in restaurants for over 20 years now. And, you know, first couple of years in Chicago, at least the first year, I was really looking for some Bitcoin action, you know, going on the meetup.com, all that kind of stuff, and really found like a pretty big gap between either it's BitDevs downtown or you're going way out to the suburbs. So at that time I was kind of like Ravenswood area, and basically just started putting together my own little meetups in my local garden, community garden, because we had a little grill there and stuff. And, you know, I just from being on Bitcoin Twitter and things, I definitely knew I could attract some Bitcoiners with a couple of grilled steaks. So started doing those, and, you know, it just it evolved. The first couple, there's only one or two people showing up. Finally make my way out to BitDevs and start meeting a lot of other people, tell them what I'm doing there in that area. And, you know, just started to grow and grow until I needed like a space to put people in. And then that's when we kind of started to talk more about putting this together, you know, what that would look like, what kind of spaces we could utilize. And we basically knew from the beginning that we wanted it to be obviously like very Bitcoin oriented to have a place for us to congregate, but we would clearly need like some type of front facing entity or revenue stream. And just because of my background, I've had, you know, concepts, just been sitting on concepts for years for different spaces or different styles of cuisine. So I keep telling everyone it could have been anything. It could have been a coffee shop, could have been like a retail, you know, preserves and all kinds of stuff. But it just so happened that this space we found, maybe the third or fourth place that I saw, maybe like the first or second place that Julio saw, it just looked perfect. You know, it was already built out as a full service restaurant downstairs, had the square footage upstairs that we knew we could utilize for kind of this clubhouse co-working space. And had a few more meetups just really to see who wanted to take the ball and run with it. And, you know, we didn't like put this together in a back room. We were out there just seeing who wanted to get involved. And whoever I was willing to follow along with, whoever was willing to take the next steps.
Dude, that sounds so amazing. Yeah, I can't wait to dive into some of those topics a little bit more. Maybe the first thing I wanted to kind of start off with was just, you know, I've been hearing from Rev, right? So I'm from Massachusetts, like I run the Western Mass Bitcoin Meetup. But you know, Rev's right in your neighborhood there, and he already said he's a member and everything now. But it kind of sounds like Chicago has got a pretty serious meetup scene going on. And it sounds like from the way that you guys are describing this, Chicago Bitcoin Collective, now with the physical location and stuff, you guys might sort of become the hub of everything that's going on there. Like, I don't know, do you guys want to talk about or explain like what the Chicago meetup scene is like? Like, are there multiple meetups right now in Chicago? Like, I think there are multiple BitDevs, right?
Yeah, we're doing a couple of different meetups. Us personally, the Chicago Bitcoin Collective and Fork and Coin, we host between 6 and 10 meetups throughout the month. And that ranges from a coffee meetup on the first Tuesday of every month, a Bitcoin 101, where we really cover the Bitcoin fundamentals, all the way through our technical meetup, which is our BitDevs, Socratic seminar type style. There is two of those in Chicago on a monthly basis, one held the second Thursday of the month at the Strike office downtown, and the other the third Thursday of the month over at Fork and Coin. And we really act as a solid medium between the suburbs and the city. We're about 15 minutes away from O'Hare Airport towards the city and another 15, 20 minutes away from the West Loop. So we kind of act as a perfect middle ground for people from the suburbs to travel over to the city, someone landing at O'Hare that's, you know, traveling downtown for the week or the weekend and needs a place to stop to grab some food or a place to hang out with some Bitcoiners. As far as events go, I mean, there are plenty of events. They are just spread out. We have a few downtown in Chicago, and there's a few out in the suburbs. So we felt like we were a perfect middle ground to bring everybody together here in Chicago.
Yeah, even before the collective started up and we have had the space, there were at least it got to the point where there was a meetup every week. So you know, four throughout the month between the coffee meetup that basically was where me and John met, and I think I might have even met Brady there. So there was like this consistent coffee meetup that was happening in Portage Park. There was BitDevs the week after. There was typically something in the suburbs like the third week. And then I was doing my meetups on the fourth week of the month. So we were kind of like observing each other's, you know, when we were all doing things and try to space them out. So, you know, before the collective even opened, there was like a good scene happening here in Chicago.
Yeah. And over the last couple of years, I'd hosted a breakfast downtown with Joe Carlosari. We had a book signing with Nick Bhatia last summer at one of our members, Kevin's co-work space. So we'd kind of been testing the waters, I would say, and seeing who else, more from the social perspective, wanted to get together with Bitcoiners, Bit Devs downtown at Strike's office, as Brady mentioned. That's the longest running meetup in the city. But there had been this BOB, which was now we've rebranded it. It was called Bitcoin Open Blockchain. Now we're calling it Bitcoin Only Bitcoin at this point. That meetup had been like at least 8 to 10 years old, several thousand people in a meetup group that one of our members still kind of had the handle on just to, as a legacy. But so we're doing a social meetup. We've hosted Brian Jones, who of Huddle House, a Bitcoin architect from Atlanta, on a Sunday afternoon. And we've got Illinois Bitcoin Council meeting or afternoon kind of soiree at our space in August. And then we're planning a bigger value for value summit in mid-September, where we'll have a full concert nearby at Avondale Music Hall, Freedom Tech workshops, and really in a Bitcoin bodega. So that'll be September 14th and 15th. I think we'll get into that a little bit further, deeper on. But I want to mention that because I think for us, and you mentioned our Chicago Bitcoin Collective and our physical hub, we definitely see ourselves being the hub for Bitcoin activity in Chicago and are there to have that physical space. I think you guys talk about it a lot in your episodes, but just finding where that physical space is going to be, where's the consistency, what's the hospitality like, what's the food like. You know, we have a lot of these variables under our control now, and really being able to be creative with the food side of it that Foyes will get into, and create more of this homey environment. And then I think, you know, definitely Bitcoin Park has done an amazing job in Nashville doing, and then you see what happens when you have a front end and just an open door like a pub key in New York or DC, because we want, in such a big city, there's 3 million people, you know, 8 million people in the greater area in Chicago. And so from a Bitcoin perspective, we're really so early from an adoption standpoint. So seeing what Bitcoin looks like in action, getting the 101 workshops, paying in Bitcoin, we're using Square terminals. So all of that, just getting to build on the infrastructure that's already in place and seeing who wants to be a part of it. You know, really, as Foyes said, and Brady as well, we had several, you know, workshops, meetings, see who wants to be involved or who would want to plan or get involved. And so we have over 40 members of the collective already. And so that upstairs clubhouse, co-working space is open for members to use, whether that's a community member, say, hey, you want to come in once a month to twice a week from at the co-working tier all the way up to builder tier, where you will give 24/7 access really to that upstairs space as you build trust and want to get more and more involved. And then you also get discounts to the restaurant. As the restaurant will be opening up, we see it evolving more into this daytime space. Grab your food, come and hang out with Bitcoiners. We have a courtyard in the backyard. And really felt meant to be. As Foyes said, we didn't really look at a lot of places. It just felt right. It's a neighborhood called Portage Park, north side of Chicago, right across the street from a park. And in an area that's very walkable and has, we think, a clientele on the restaurant side that's already really interested in what we're doing, but is very drivable, being at the junction of two major highways for Chicago. Because that's, I think, the biggest issue. I don't know if you guys see this in Western Mass. I know, Rev, you drive around everywhere in the Midwest for meetups, but that can be a big deterrent if you've got to get in the car during rush hour or go an hour one way and back to family. So we think the consistency and the placement of the hub can really bring in a wider number of people throughout the year.
One of the big things that stood out to me and one of the biggest things that I was most excited about, actually talking about traveling from a ways away, you know, I was going to the Chicago Bit Devs as often as I could. I tried to get there every month, but the parking was horrible. You know, you had to pay like $14 to go in a parking garage somewhere, and you're still dealing with all the traffic. And so the beautiful thing about the Chicago Bitcoin Collective is that you can park right on the street for free. At least the couple times that I've gone there, I've been able to get there so far. The parking's been easy, which is a huge benefit. And then the other thing that I thought was really cool was that you guys the progress that was made between when I went there the first time, and then the second time I visited was huge. And it just really felt like, because there were so many people working together, cooperating, there it's not just a couple guys and you're having to pay somebody else to get the help. No, there's enough of you guys to where it seems like you guys DIY'd the whole darn thing together. And it really shows, like, the energy in that space. You can feel it, that you guys created it. I don't know if you want to, if you've got any stories about putting the space together, cooperating, getting it going, but it definitely shines through when you get there.
Well, our chef happens to also be an electrician and a handyman and a contractor and all the above. So maybe, boys, you did a lot of the grunt work there and even the upstairs, and then definitely in the restaurant and the creativity to what it looks like today. Maybe you go into some of that process or turning the concept into reality.
Yeah, we spent the first, maybe the first 2 months just working on the upstairs, just kind of focusing in on the CBC space, because we knew we had to kind of get that off the ground, and it was definitely going to take a lot longer to get the restaurant up and running. So if we wanted any chance of, you know, at least seeing a little bit of dent in our, like, burn rate once we got into the space, we knew we had to get the upstairs going pretty quickly. So yeah, we spent like the first 2 months doing that. We did luckily enough have another contractor through Julio, like a friend of Julio, who basically did all of the work at cost. So that was huge. You know, he really saved us a ton of time. But, you know, the first day we got into the building after they closed on it, we literally started tearing down the walls. You know, we went to see the space and we're like, oh, this wall is just go hollow through to the next room. And then, you know, next thing you know, we're like tearing the closet apart, we're tearing the wall down, and just like reimagining the whole space up there. But yeah, I mean, a little bit of electrical work, some carpentry. We had enough tools between me and the other contractor and some of the other partners. You know, my even to this day, since then, my tools are like scattered all over the space. So I got to start cleaning those up pretty soon. But, you know, once we got pretty comfortable with the upstairs, built some nice tabletops, built some desks and things like that. You know, it's funny, just with going into all this, like the design and, you know, who's going to do what. This is, you know, we, the six of us don't have like a long rapport with one another. So we're almost not sure what each other is capable of. So, you know, when I'm like, oh yeah, I'll just build that. And they're like, are you sure about that? And then, you know, doing it and then, you know, being totally happy that everyone's impressed. So just keep, you know, working with that and gaining each other's trust over time and seeing what we're definitely all capable of, has made us all like a little more relaxed as we've moved further through this.
Yeah.
I mean, downstairs, and Brady, please like jump in. Brady's been right there with me, the whole time, you know, grabbing the tools that I need, helping me cut wood, stain things, paint everything. What do you think, Brady?
Yeah, it's funny. I'm happy I was muted because I actually laughed out loud. Foyz was in there just doing everything and he was so amazing. Me, myself, you know, I've been in Bitcoin for about 10 years. After college, I, you know, went into the tech industry and I've worked in tech for about 7 or 8 years. Didn't really have many, you know, much experience with electrical tools or really doing much handiwork. And Foyz, you know, taught me a lot. And I just got the experience of not only hanging around Bitcoiners and seeing how amazing Bitcoiners are, but I actually got the experience to learn and to grow as an individual at this place. And we're still not even 6 months into this building. And I'm just so excited for the future of this place, because it is really a breeding ground for education and knowledge. And it's so amazing to have partners like John and Foyz and our three other partners as well, because this is awesome for me as an individual to just grow. I mean, just a quick story about, you know, us getting the building up and running. I know there was many late nights of us going home to see our families, coming back, having a couple of drinks and just, you know, hanging around for hours. And getting stuff done. It's been, you know, an amazing experience so far. And I'm just so excited to get our restaurant doors open to, you know, getting some of the public out to start really seeing our place and our work.
That's all of that's like an unbelievable story. You know, I was laughing too, but you know, so Rev's, I'm stealing your thing, Rev. Rev's got this thing. He's got this little saying that we've said a few times on the show and in other places too. It's DIY or GFY. And, it sounds like you guys are like the embodiment of that. And, yes. It made me think too, like cause I didn't really appreciate the fact. So when you were doing the intro, did you say you bought the building? So this is your building. And that's why you can do all this renovation and stuff. You just go in there and do what you want, right? Did I understand correctly?
Yep, that's correct. We got the building in February.
Dude, that is so unbelievable. I mean, the speed at which this whole thing, you know, from concept a year ago, dude, buying a building is no small undertaking. So that's just incredibly impressive from, you know, just hearing this whole story. I don't think I really understood the magnitude of everything that you guys had going on. So I don't know. We talked about the building a little bit. That was great. I still have some questions about the Chicago Bitcoin Collective in general, but I don't know. We mentioned the food side before. Did you guys want to talk about some of the food side, some of like the what you got for Fork and Coin and the restaurant and stuff?
Yeah, I mean, just kind of trailing off of what we were just talking about, you know, once CBC was put together upstairs, we kind of refocused everything downstairs. Like I said, the place was already built out as a full service restaurant. So, you know, the kitchen was there, everything that we needed. The bar was already pretty much put together. We really just had to put our own kind of vibe over the place. So, you know, I love working with my hands. I definitely have like an artistic side. So just like putting out what I think would look good to these guys, kind of like showing them, using some AI tools to do that, putting the colors together, obviously the orange and everything like that. And kind of putting the dining room together so that everything looked really good. And as far as the menu and the food, this is, like, again, some of these concepts I've been working on for a while. When I saw this, I saw how big the bar was at this space compared to the size of the dining room. I mean, it's not a huge dining room, but it is a big bar, and it's almost equal seating between the two. So I was like, okay, I have, like, this bar menu that I've been working on. A lot of my food's very, like, Japanese and Asian influence forward. So like all kinds of ingredients throughout all the Asian countries, Thai, you know, Chinese, Japanese, lots of Filipino flavors as well. And kind of bringing all of those elements to like a quick service bar menu, like pub and comfort food. So, you know, things that can go out, you can eat with your hands, you can eat with a cocktail or two, easy to eat at the bar. It's not like a big plate of food with several sides and things like that. Comes out of the kitchen nice and quick. So, you know, just building on that menu and that concept to fit the space really well. And I think we are succeeding at that. You know, we started to brand off as like a pub because we really are like we want to be a public house, a place that everybody can come. And you know, speak their mind and enjoy some food and drink together. But, you know, that word pub gives a connotation of like a old Irish pub or like a dive bar or something like that. Also looking for a way to, you know, tell people that it is leans towards like the Asian influenced ingredients. So what we did end up calling it was an American izakaya. If you're not familiar with the word izakaya, it's basically a pub and grill in Japan. So some of the food, I've got the menu in front of me. So we're doing everything share style. So everything kind of comes out as it's prepared. So you've got some smaller share items, some bigger share stuff. Traditional Japanese fried chicken called karage, all the way over to something that you'd see more in a pub, like a fish and chips, but with like a miso marinade, black garlic malt vinegar. We're doing a really awesome burger that has like this Filipino style pickle on it, just like a pickled daikon and carrot. Super awesome burger. And then we've got some bigger stuff, hanger steak, big bone and pork chop that's off the grill with like this awesome Japanese house curry that we're making. And then of course, John's not going to let me go on this one if I don't mention it. Both of our 35-pound fryers are full of beef tallow. And the fries that we're getting in are a bigger cut, but from the same company who's making the steak and shake fries. So our fries are also blanched in tallow, and then we're frying those in tallow as well.
Another cool thing that it seems like there's an effort being made is to find ingredients from Bitcoiners as well. Offhand, I don't remember who, but do you have anybody that you've been getting ingredients from?
Yeah, definitely. That's where I was going to go next. And certainly the health component and Bitcoin aspect of things where when you pay in Bitcoin, as we know, we're buying higher quality goods, right? And so actually tomorrow I'm going to get a whole cow, half it will be for the restaurant, half for me, but that's sourced in Bitcoin. We have our wine, good friend Ben Justman, we had an izakaya night that we serve a Peony Lane wine. So all natural. We have olive oil coming from Italy, Sats oil. And then, really one of our big goals for the restaurant is absolutely sourcing as many products as we can in Bitcoin. And so we know there are some products like coffee. We've had some discussions, produce, a local guy at a farmer's market who accepts Bitcoin. And he was using Stripe and was like, hey, actually you use Square. You can just turn it on right here and turned it on Square for him. Someone that Foy's actually knows from the Chicago community. So if you have products out there, if you have something that you'd want to see on the menu, we're definitely all ears. And I think that combination of showing, we're frying in beef tallow. This is healthy food. It's elevated food in an area that's generally, there are definitely some nice restaurants around, but even still you go to maybe like a nicer higher end restaurant, but you're still eating food that's laced with seed oils, right? And it's like, okay, this still isn't really, really healthy. And so having that aspect where people can come and enjoy and try our delicious fries or the burger or the fish and chips, and have more of this community aspect as well. The dining that Foy's mentioned, but the supper clubs is something we're going to be doing as well. So Mondays and Tuesdays when the restaurant's closed to the public, we'll be doing some member nights, specific tasting menus. Again, more of this Japanese flair, which, for our Bitcoiner purposes, and throwback to Satoshi Nakamoto, obviously there's a lot of ties to Japan. And Julio had quite the gallery of Bitcoin art. So he almost single-handedly helped supply a lot of the art that's on the walls, both in the restaurant and upstairs. There is certainly a nod to Bitcoin downstairs. We're trying not to make it too overwhelming for folks, but it's certainly going to be an opportunity where we think you come and grab a drink and you see the big fractal or you see the block height or something else related to Bitcoin around and maybe start asking questions. That's a great opportunity to have a natural conversation with someone, about Bitcoin, about why the money's broken. And so absolutely, Rev, that's a huge part. Hopefully we can get some getting some land from you, whatever else we can source. I think part of even having the cow or half cow, the plan is it'll be, of course, there's only a certain amount of cuts from the cow. So it'll be more of like a special menu items or for specific events. You know, I think even as Americans, we've gotten used to certain cuts, whether it's a ribeye, New York strip or whatever, but there's only a certain amount on the cow. So we're going to use the cow creatively. We definitely want to have bone broth on tap come winter time. So Chicago, we get our seasons right now. Summertime shy. It's a great time to be outside, but I think come winter time, you're going to be wanting some of the bone broth.
So there was a funny thing that came up in the group chat where I think there was an article that about the restaurant that was in like a local Chicago kind of article. And then somebody on Reddit was discussing like, oh God, there's this Bitcoiners restaurant opening up. And they were being kind of critical of it. But then when I came to the bit devs there, you guys were doing burger night. And the restaurant wasn't like technically open yet, but you guys were serving food to you had the neighborhood coming in there. The place was packed and you guys sold out of burgers. And so it's like, yeah, maybe the idea that this is a Bitcoin place seems like people don't really care. They just want to come check it out. And maybe the word got out that you had some high quality food in there.
I think it's been, we did make a kind of a conscious effort not to push too hard in the beginning of the promotion of the restaurant, that it is Bitcoin related or Bitcoin adjacent. But what we've seen, and that might have been a good idea, but what we've seen is now that we've actually gotten people in the door, they've had the food, they either A, don't care, or now, like, they don't care that it has anything to do with Bitcoin, and they're totally on board because they're enjoying it. Or now they're interested. They're kind of like, what is your relation to Bitcoin? We've had multiple people, either folks that have come to the Supper Club events or even people just on Instagram DMing us, asking us what is the Bitcoin aspect of the restaurant.
So Brady, I think you were taking people's orders and stuff when I went in there. So I guess you probably have the best perception of how the general public is seeing this space walking in there for the first time. What do you think? Are people loving it?
Yeah, I mean, first impressions, absolutely love it. The community is super strong. I mean, me personally, I live in the neighborhood. So I've taken the community aspect just one step further to really try to join what's already going on in Portage Park. And bring Bitcoin to life there. First impressions of the restaurant have gone through the roof. I mean, even before doors were open, the Portage Park Chamber of Commerce gave us a huge shout out. And that really helped our Instagram page kind of take off. And since then, the community has just been overly anticipating our grand opening, and we're super excited to get the doors open to people. As far as the Bitcoin side, there definitely is some hesitancy. They see the miners upstairs, even our chamber member or chamber chief, he asked us if we were like a Bitcoin trading club. So I still think the education is needed, and that is part of the reason of why we're doing what we're doing, to give people the Bitcoin education that is needed, because most people still look at it as just some crazy internet currency or some, internet asset that they can buy and sell. And that's not how we look at Bitcoin as Bitcoiners. So I'm so happy to be a part of the neighborhood, a part of the community, not only to give them an amazing experience with great food up front, but to slowly educate them on Bitcoin and get them upstairs to start attending some of our Bitcoin events.
I think for me too, like, I'm at the point where I'm not trying to sell people on this anymore. I am here to like proof of concept. Like, I'm doing it, we are doing it. We started the company with Bitcoin. Like, it's totally based on Bitcoin, backed by Bitcoin. Our ethos, how we're sourcing the food and how we're cooking the food, it all, again, comes back to that. So at this point, I feel like I don't have to tell people. We're just going to do it and show them that, when they come around in a couple of years and they're like, what are you doing that's working so well? Then we'll we might have their ear.
Yeah, it's funny. When I first started hearing about Fork and Coin, or I guess, you know what, I think from Rev, I started hearing about the Chicago Bitcoin Collective and having a space for Bitcoin meetups, like a physical location. And I was like, oh, wow, that's so cool. You know, like you guys have talked about a lot of the other ones that are around the country, around the world. But I think it's such a, I think Foyce, you mentioned it, you know, during the introduction, like having additional revenue streams is really the way that you make this sustainable. And, I think, you know, the way that you guys have it wired up here, like with memberships, but then also the co-working space and then also the restaurant. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Rev would be more like the person to call this out than I would, but there's got to be some permaculture principles in there about using all the space and like using every asset. You know, John, you were talking about making sure you use every bit of the cow and trying to find creative ways of being, you know, basically super efficient. And I think having those multiple revenue streams is really going to be a game changer in terms of like longer term sustainability. And I don't know if there are other physical locations that maybe have that many primary revenue streams, but hopefully that sets you guys up kind of for the long run. I guess I don't really have a question coming out of that, but if you guys, I don't know if there was other topics you were thinking of about on the revenue side, but that's really cool to me.
I think John and Brady could, either one of them could speak to like Denver and like what they're doing on their side. But even looking at it from my experience in restaurants, you know, what we're doing upstairs is something that other restaurants don't have, the same way that maybe another co-working space or clubhouse or something doesn't have a restaurant. And you know, when I come back to saying proof of concept, it's the same thing there. Is like, you know, not only do we have a Bitcoin standard, which is also going to put us ahead of the game as far as having a working in a restaurant where the margins are paper thin, but utilizing the rest of the space of the building and also owning the building.
Yeah, that was definitely, you know, part of the plan from the beginning, and something that should grow over time organically, as we've had members who wanted to get involved, or ways that we could use the space. Like for now, as even the way Foy's described, we kind of started upstairs, got the co-working ready to go and in shape for events and co-working and hanging out. And then now the restaurant, got our health license, liquor license, should be any day now. Getting close to that and fully opening up and just running a solid bar restaurant. And as Foy said, a lot of the margins, they do get pinched and you see lower quality products because you're cost cutting, right? And so to not have to do those things and to try to keep providing quality experience as well as a key point of this and have people you want to come and hang out with. Yeah, I think the sky's the limit for us and what we can put together. Certainly we have also a garage in the back. As it gets cold here, it's a prime place for Bitcoin mining. I think that's something that the space in Denver has done really well, right? Is downstairs and they're heating the space with miners. And I think that's going to be a next step for us probably come winter as it gets cold again. And we can put some effort into really optimizing the space in the back that we have. But for now, even just the courtyard and the patio. We had a barbecue and tweeted out and got a nice retweet from Jack Dorsey because we had a nice plate of barbecue in front of the Square stand, right? And like, I think for everything Square is doing, it's really incredible because it makes it so easy for millions of businesses to turn on Bitcoin payments. But I think we're really going to be embodying that from day one and building in this ecosystem where there's so many amazing builders. Another aspect for us that we were offering for members already, and something that I think we can test out in the public too, in terms of onboarding to Bitcoin, is using AgiCash, which is eCash based gift cards for Bitcoin, right? And so we now, and it's tied to your Square terminal, so we can issue basically gift cards. Someone can top up in the AgiCash app, where they can connect to Cash App, basically buy Sats directly into a gift card, and then boom, spend that at Fork and Coin restaurant, or have a separate wallet that you can spend anywhere, you know, interoperable with Lightning. And so I think it's those onboarding opportunities that we're also gonna have to see, because I think the more circular economy we can spur on,
and transactions that we can enable, even like you started the show with Reed and the kayak. And we had members bring in a soldering station. We had another member bring a 3D printing station. So we only have so much physical footprint for these things. But I think for people who want to come and learn and contribute, certainly having multiple revenue streams, starting with the bar restaurant, obviously liquor, alcohol sales too. But for us, it's not going to be in a way that's too boisterous for the community. For us, it's really important that, you know, I'm not going to be open super late. But it will be a place you can come and, you know, grab a beer and talk and hang out in the back and enjoy the nice weather. We've got a bit of a rooftop as well. So, yeah, I think we'll see how it evolves. And I think it will change a little bit with the seasons and how we can utilize both our space, potential neighbors, and then certainly the park that's across the street for more kind of physical activity oriented folks.
Thought it was really cool how you guys got the space and figured out any way possible to immediately get the local Bitcoiners in there and seeing it, participating it, you know, interacting with it. And so there's been like kind of these phased approaches to, from where it's literally, there's like drywall dust and there's a meetup going on in there, to now it's, you've got some, like you said, the solder station's up and there's a little bit more, organization up there. But I'm just curious as to like, what has been the response, or how are the members that are coming there on a regular basis, finding ways to utilize the space and interact with it? I know there's one story as an example, like Stacy had started doing haircuts every once in a while. So I don't know if anyone has, you know, just how are the members really taking advantage of the fact that they've got the space available to them?
Yeah. I mean, our members have been an amazing support of what we're doing here. I mean, like we said, you know, this all started very public facing. You know, we were going to these regular meetups that we had in Chicago and putting our heads together to get a physical space. And once we got that physical space, Chicago really came out. You know, the Bitcoiners were so supportive, you know, signing up for a membership that they didn't really understand what they were even getting. And in full transparency, we didn't know what we were giving them. But we really got to work that out. And now it's just, it's such an amazing thing to see, you know, me standing in the corner of the room and just hearing these different conversations going out, most of them not even about Bitcoin, but the ability for individuals with this similar first principle of us being hardcore Bitcoiners and bringing our everyday life to come together and have a couple of drinks and just hang out. It's been truly tremendous. John mentioned the 3D printer and the soldering station. I think it's just a camaraderie thing, you know, the ability for us to get together, especially here in a bear market, you know, to be with one another and just, you know, talk about everything that's going on in the world. I would say the biggest thing that we're trying to accomplish and trying to bring forward is not only another revenue stream for us, but also a revenue stream for our members. And that's with the Bitcoin Bodega. We're going to be fully rolling that out during our Value for Value Summit, September 14th and 15th. Super excited for that. And really that just gives our members an opportunity to bring what they bring to the table, to the masses. So, you know, we have a corner set up in the CBC where all of our members can lay out a product or service that they have to offer. That way other members have exposure and we can really bring this circular economy forward.
Yeah. I mean, from the beginning, I kept saying to these guys, I can't use a co-working space. I'm not going to sit down on my laptop and code because I cook with my hands all day. So I also want this to be a space for folks that do other things. So, you know, that's where like the soldering station falls into place. There's just room there for other things to happen. You know, Stacy coming in and doing haircuts was really cool to see. We wanted the members to be welcome in there from the beginning, not even the members, but just any Bitcoiners, especially the ones that were participating in those initial meetups to kind of talk about this stuff, to come in and, you know, see the space whenever they wanted, hang out, help out if they were. And we've had plenty of members like come in and literally like do free work, and really help us like move forward on this stuff. So we wanted it to be like a community thing. And I think that it definitely has been. And, you know, like you said, Rev, coming in there and like sawdust on the ground kind of thing, or, you know, drywall dust all over the place, like that, those were some good meetups. And we wanted people in there then so that they could see what this is like evolving into.
And I guess before we leave this, this concept of, you know, how do you get the community involved? So I was poking around your website and I saw, I mean, there's a button on here for anybody can just apply to host or to have you guys host a meetup. And, you know, I don't know if we really talked about it too much, but, you know, we have talked about it many, many times on this show, and it's always at the top on everybody's mind when you talk to other Bitcoin meetup organizers. You finding a space is the hardest part. It's honestly, and you guys are coming with all the bells and whistles, like everything a Bitcoin meetup organizer could ever want, you guys are offering. And so having that, you know, just offering that, just offering that out to the community is a huge thing. And it's really cool to hear people kind of taking you up on that, whether it's a Bitcoin meetup or not, whether it's like the haircut thing or whatever anybody else wants to do. It sounds like you guys are just like, look, as long as we're utilizing this asset that is this space as much as humanly possible, like that's how we're all going to win together. And I think it's just such the right attitude. I love to see it. I love to see it. But before we get, I want to jump in.
So like, imagine this. I park my car on the street for free. I walk in with my cooler to the Chicago Bitcoin Collective. It's for bit devs. I set up my stuff that I got for sale at the bodega, right? This is kind of the early version of it. But when I was there, I just set my stuff up on the table. You can see what I have for sale. I walk down to the restaurant. I order a burger and fries. I pay with Bitcoin. The burger and fries comes to me while I'm sitting there enjoying the bit devs meetup. I mean, come on, guys. This place is amazing. And the burger and fries, like it's tallow, it's high quality food. You can't beat it. So that was kind of, it's just like Reed was saying, that you've got the makings of everything that the kind of experience that you'd want going to a Bitcoin meetup is totally available, at the Chicago Bitcoin Fork and Coin restaurant. Now I think that we've kind of teased around with everything else. It's time to talk about this value for value, summit that's coming up.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really, I think that description there, Rev, that was like Bitcoin bliss, right? You've got everything around you that you need. And now all it takes is that individual initiative to make it happen. And you have something valuable to sell, right? And so you're homesteading, doing permaculture. You've got goods that you've got ready to go, whether it's eggs or honey or lamb. And so certainly a huge part of our value for value summit in Chicago is going to be the bodega, as Brady was hinting at. And something that'll be the launch for a year round stand that we'll have. And for folks that have products that are certainly targeting a Bitcoin market or Bitcoiner can have year round, but to be able to post up outside in the courtyard, have interactions with individuals. We're going to be doing folks will gather kind of Monday afternoon. This is September 14th. So it should be pretty nice weather in Chicago. And have a chance to really dig in on the music side of Value for Value, meet some of the artists. So we'll have Scardust and Abel James as well, who will be playing a show that night. But kind of the Monday afternoon, setting the stage a little bit, Open Mike will be in town. He's put in some Bitcoiners have probably been at some of the concerts in Nashville and Vegas and other places where you stream sats directly to the musicians, right? You have Spotify, YouTube that take a huge cut of any anyone's music, and it's very difficult to make it as an independent artist. And so being able to feature these musicians, we're actually going to be doing like dinner and a show Monday night. So you'll get an experience of the food of Fork and Coin in the late afternoon, early evening. We'll bus folks over to the Avondale Music Hall, which is about 10 minutes away, and have a concert, a lot of fun, stream sats to the artists. That will also be open to the public. Our full summit will be probably more in like the more intimate side, probably in like the 60 to 80 person range is really like our capacity. Like it's not a huge space. And so really be high signal folks in the room. But the concert can fit another 100 or so from the local community, from the local bands. And then Tuesday is really where we'll dig in even further on all things Freedom Tech. And so certainly on the Nostr side, using the tools from an open source communication and identity protocol that we have on Nostr, some things my company, Nos Fabrica, has been building on the Brainstorm side, and really establishing this web of trust, right? Because what we're doing here in the physical space, very much at Chicago Bitcoin Collective, is establishing this web of trust and connecting folks that we can do with Nostr from an identity perspective. And then, of course, Bitcoin, Lightning, eCash and really creating these marketplaces, right, for folks to come and interact. We'll have Conduit Marketplace, so Eric as well, he's going to be in, and they're one of the early sponsors. My partners Avi Burra and Vitor Pamplona will be there. We'll dig in a lot, again, as I said, on the Nostr side. So Keith from Seed Signer, Bitcoin 101, holding your own keys. You can't have a Bitcoin Freedom Tech Forum without some reminders and updates, everything that Seed Signer's been doing and others on the Bitcoin custody side. So we're still forming a bit of what the workshops will be. We'll have, again, the restaurant will be closed, so we'll have the full upstairs, downstairs, outside to utilize to really see what's going to be the most productive for getting everybody in the room and coming in. Certainly many of our local members, we hope, and will be there. But it's a broader time for what we think for the Midwest to shine. Open Mic's doing a concert. Sam Means, his band, The Format's playing that weekend in Minneapolis. And then the following week is the Midwest Bitcoin Summit, which is going to be a much bigger scaled event that one of our members, Andrew Tillman's putting on in Columbus, Ohio. So if you want to come start it out in Chicago, road trip to Minneapolis and then Columbus, you could have a full solid 2 weeks of hanging out with Bitcoiners, working on Freedom Tech, enjoying pretty much the best weather of the year, this part of the country. So we're really stoked to putting ourselves out on the map, and the theme throughout, very much that you guys cover week in, week out, is value for value. And it's seeing what is this economic model that can really support individual creators, merchants, entrepreneurs, and then ultimately connecting communities and enabling folks to exchange, right? Exchange value back and forth. And so we're stoked. I don't know, Brady, Foyz, if you have anything else you want to add, we'll be serving food throughout. Again, I mentioned the dinner, probably be more in this omakase style that we've done, more handheld food, hanging out outside, and then we'll serve food as well throughout, on Tuesday, and certainly a lunch service too. So we're excited.
So I guess a topic that's come up on the show quite a bit, and we've been fortunate enough to have a couple of guests come on with some experience in this. We had Biddish on. We also had Sir Spencer on. And so Rev and I feel like, we're kind of learning about the value for value music space. It's something that's been super interesting for us. Maybe you guys didn't catch it. So we have a new, in Western Mass, we have a new Bitcoin meetup venue, and it's a small concert venue. And so they don't have shows on Sundays, and our meetups are on Sundays. And so we just get the space basically, and they're pumped to have us. And so that's kind of gotten me more interested too. Like, hey, talk about utilizing assets. Like, do I have an asset here that I need to be doing a better job of utilizing? Like, maybe there's some really cool V4V stuff I should be doing here. So I don't know, anything you guys would like to share about how the V4V concert idea came together, like how you were reaching out to the artists, like how some of the technical side of that, like what kind of equipment that you need, or like what are the inputs that really, that can make this, I've got an idea for a V4V concert, turning that idea into reality. Behind the curtain stuff is, that's where I live, right? I love hearing all the technical side of stuff. So anything you're willing to share there, I'd be super interested to hear.
Yeah, I'll share briefly, and then I actually got to run to help get the little ones down. And Brady and Foyz can fill in any gaps. But really is connecting with Open Mic. He runs Toonster, and also one of the biggest music venues in Minneapolis. So he's super well connected in the music scene. And so as we were starting to think about an event like this, we're just out in Vegas and met Noah, and her band Stardust is going to be touring from Israel, and said, hey, why don't you guys come stop in Chicago? And boom, got our headliner,
I'm good friends with Abel James from the Austin community. He's played a few of these shows. Yeah, come here. I've got my little one calling for me. So yeah, we'll see. I think it'll come together pretty well 2 months from tonight, and having that expertise is huge. And then knowing, you know, hey, Bitcoiners will show up, want to stream sats and show this is possible. You know, in Vegas, I think over 1.5 million sats were streamed live to the artists. So I think for the artists, it's cool exposure, and then leaning on kind of our local community. So I'll leave it at that. I got my daughter calling me here. So
Waiter John, thank you
guys so much.
We'll see you
soon. Yeah, man. Thanks so much for coming on.
Yeah. I mean, I'm super interested in the value for value music stuff. I mean, you know, on my side, the Bitcoin Bodega side, is something that I was kind of doing on my own, and then had some ideas to put something together. Like we were talking about early on doing like a block party, something like that. But in my head, I see it as like a literal bodega. If you don't know what a bodega is, it's basically like a deli, like a sandwich shop, like the corner store kind of thing. In the Northeast, they call them bodegas. You can walk in, you can get a hot sandwich, you know, you can get your drinks, your chips, your your everyday necessities, and you can get out of there. So, you know, why can't all of those items be, you know, sourced from the Bitcoin community, you know, with the food there, and then there's plenty of people selling things on Noster. You know, we could definitely put that all together. So that was kind of where the idea for that came from. And on the music side, you know, my time in New York, I found myself with always living with musicians or some type of like, you know, musical artists, whether they were producers or rappers or whatever. So we were having like all these underground shows at our places, at warehouses or like abandoned storefronts. And then seeing how Wavelake was doing things and some of these other, like John said, Toonster, I started to come across those, a little later after New York, but that's like stuff that I immediately started sending out to those people that I met, like, yo, check this out. You can post your music, you know, you can get paid directly from the listener. Cause you know, you're losing a lot to some of these other services, and I'd really like to see that grow for sure. And I think that kind of putting this together, and Reed, like you said, you have that space available, so that it would be, you know, really cool to see what you could put some feelers out and maybe put together. And if we could even make our way out there too, to help out, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, man, everybody's given me the same advice. I've asked multiple people this for advice, and they've all said, talk to open mic. Like, that's the consistent advice that I've gotten.
Right, that's pretty much, yeah. I mean, like, John was like, oh, talk to open mic. I mean, I don't know if I've met him, but it seems like he is the guy.
Definitely the guy to talk to. Would happy to put you guys in contact, because open mic is great. And I guess just like full circle this, you know, my concept of value for value, I think we as a business kind of took that on right away. I mean, me personally, I've been listening to the podcast No Agenda with John C. Dvorak and Adam Curry, who really take that concept to full force. They don't have any advertisement on their podcast. Everything comes from donations, and they utilize what they call the three T's, which is time, talent, and treasure. However you can contribute your value to the show, is payment enough for them? And I think we wanted to go to the same concept, right? Our members feel a part of what we're building here, and that's because they literally are a part of it. And that is the value for value model. And I think we try to go back to, you know, the olden days of money and where it all began with the bartering system and, you know, providing value in exchange for value.
And it is just such a, it's the right size. We talk about this a lot of the, you know, the kind of the Dunbar's number of a Bitcoin meetup, or I think that the space, while it is small, that is actually a good thing, because it allows for this to nurture this ability to take advantage of the strengths of the members and to give space for them to contribute. Because if it was this huge, I don't know necessarily how big Denver is. I've been to Bitcoin Park. That's certainly much larger than what's going on here at the Chicago Bitcoin Collective. But I could imagine that, you know, at Bitcoin Park, it's so big that, you know, sure, you get to kind of know everyone, but can everyone really contribute to what's going on? I doubt it. But at the Chicago Bitcoin Collective, it seems like it's just the right size where people can have a nice space to get together, but also be a big part of it.
Yeah, like, you know, the three T's that Brady mentioned, it's almost how this even came together, like the whole... And if you look at any of these other spaces, the Denver space and things like that, you know, folks have brought their time, they brought their talent. So, you know, we didn't try to copy the Denver space. You know, it's awesome to think that we could heat the whole place with miners, but that's not necessarily any of our talents. I haven't been there, but I've seen photos of like what they put together at the Denver space. And there are some like mastercraft plumbing going on down there. And I'm pretty sure that one of the guys involved is the one that's doing that. So it's like, you know, you have to utilize the talent of the people around you. You can't try to, you know, replicate it so much as you should, you know, go towards your own talents and utilize that time. And that's kind of how this came together here as well.
Yeah. It seems like, you know, and not to jump necessarily right into it, but it almost kind of seems like the theme of the show here, you know, is how do you use what you have in the most efficient way possible? Like how do you get the maximum benefit out of any asset that you have? And, you know, certainly an asset that you guys are cultivating here and an asset that we talk about all the time on the show is the community. You know, the community is the asset. You know, it's something that we all benefit from, and it's something that should be taken care of. And the more you take care of your community, the more the community is going to take care of you. And so it's all the stuff that you guys have going on. It's just, I guess my perception of everything that you guys explained on this episode is just you guys started off on the right path from like day one. Like absolute ground zero, you're building this thing with the most strong, stable foundation that, I don't know. I can't even think of how you could have done, you know, things, but in a better way. So it's so exciting like to hear about everything you got going on.
It's almost like we hit a block. Like that's almost how lucky that we might've gotten to put this all for this all fall together. Like it did.
Yeah, well, I mean, we've talked about it recently, at least Rev and I, and you know, it's, you know, luck is what there's the saying for that, right? It's like the intersection of preparation meets opportunity, right? And you guys were prepared, and you found the opportunity, and you just snatched right onto it. So cool.
Totally.
And we're building in a bear market, which is just the immaculate time. It's hard to, you know, be watching the Bitcoin price, but it's honestly, as we all know, being in this space for years now, this is the time to build, and this is where real Bitcoiners are built. And it's just so amazing to see how strong this community is and how far we've come as a business in just a short amount of months during a bear market. So, you know, really appreciate you guys having us on tonight, Rev and Reed. Anybody listening, you know, please come out to Chicago this summer. The restaurant is open for soft openings the next couple of weekends, both Friday and Saturday for dinner service. And then we'll be doing our full grand opening sometime mid-August. And then like we talked about today, we have our Value for Value Summit September 14th and 15th. So hope to see you guys all out at the Chicago Bitcoin Collective.
Yeah, well, and it was great to see you there the other day, Rev. I hope I get to see you out there again soon. And Reed, good to see you again. Glad we got to finally get on this call. It's been a wait, but I think it was perfect timing.
Absolutely, and dude, I am definitely gonna have to find my way out to Chicago. I gotta get out. You know, Holding this podcast, it's so brutal for me. Like, I get so much FOMO, like hearing about all these like ridiculously cool spaces all over the country. And oh man, you guys are right at the top of the list. I'm going to have to find my way there at some point.
And I guess I'll just wrap it up with kind of following up with Brady's building in the bear market. You know, if you can make it work in the bear market, then obviously the bull market's going to be a lot easier on you. And I've got a saying that kind of leads into that. And, you know, when the price is going up, you work faster. And when the price is going down, you work harder. And I feel like you guys are working really hard and taking advantage of that downward price movement. You know, the more memberships and the more value you can provide right now, that's going to lead to a lot of sats in the treasury or whatever you guys are doing to hang on to those for when the price goes back up again. And then you're going to have a lot of capital to work with to make the place even better. And not only that, but members to go along with it to make it awesome too. So I appreciate you guys coming on, spending the time with us talking tonight, and really happy that we finally got a chance to talk about it. I'm looking forward to the Value for Value Summit. I will definitely be there. And if not, well, certainly before then, I'll be coming as a member as often as I can.
Thank you guys so much. Really appreciate it.
Awesome, gentlemen. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. So like we talked a little bit about pre-show, we're going to get ready here to transition to the second half of the show, which is really our value for value section, where we go through our boosts. We talk about our community. We see all the stuff, all the cool stuff that they have going on. We talk a lot about value for value. And like we talked about before, you guys are welcome to hang and participate in that value for value section. We do have some stuff that we kind of read off. And so there's a little bit of a flow to it, but yeah, it's also just open discussion. So you're more than welcome to hang out. And and just thanks so much for coming on. And it was such a great meetup scene to learn about. I think everybody's going to be excited to hear about this one.
Yeah, I'm going to have to jump off. I do really appreciate that you guys do the value for value reads. I mean, that was something that really helped me out early on, getting reads on Rabbit Hole Recap and stuff to get people to come out to the to some of the meetups. So it's awesome that you guys do that. Definitely keep doing that and providing that service.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Okay. So with that, I think we're ready to transition to the value for value section. So our value for value section always starts with our leaderboards. And so I have those pulled up. There's on my other screen. Here we go. So the first leaderboard we'd like to talk about is our top episodes. I say this pretty much every week, but the reason why we have this leaderboard is because we know, so this episode that's coming out is episode 20, which is crazy that we've already got 20 episodes in the bag. But if you're new to the show, going back and listening to 20 episodes is tough. You know, we think that all of our episodes are great. I think there's definitely key takeaways in every single one that would be valuable information for you to have. But who's got the time? You know what I mean? It's a really big ask to say, oh, you should go back and listen to all 20 of our episodes. So instead, what we have is we have our top episode leaderboard. And we think sats are the standard. You know, the best way to measure what our most valuable episode is the episode that brought in the most value. Of the most valuable currency the world has ever seen, which is Bitcoin. And so we have our episode leaderboard starts out with our number one show is episode 15 with BTC Russell with 281,897 sats. So that episode was fantastic. It's called, the title of it is Privacy is Sovereignty with BTC Russell from Columbia, South Carolina. And for those of you who don't remember or who haven't, or maybe your first time tuning into the show, that episode, BTC Russell got that whole thing kicked off by saying right during the episode that his split, you know, we give splits to all the guests. And so his split was going to go to the Samurai developers. And so Rev and I followed up and we said, you know what, we're going to do the same. So we're taking our splits. And so the splits from all three of us are going to the Samurai devs. the best way we thought to do that for our side was at the end of July, we're going to count up. You can go to our stats page and actually see it for yourself on the website. But we're going to take all the sats that we've gotten, and we're just going to donate those to Keon and Bill. And we think that if you haven't donated to them already, I highly encourage you to go do that. This is a fight that we cannot stop pounding the drum on. We can't just forget about them. That's what they want. They want you to forget about them, and we can't forget. And so it's important for us to bring this up on the regular. And so we'll keep doing that. So, episode 15, you know, if you want to boost that episode, now's your chance, and you can get recognized on the show. You can join our supporters page. You get some shout outs. You can support, you know, you can boost your products. You can boost your meetups. And then all those sats end up going to the Samurai developers anyways. So really consider dropping us a boost on episode 15 if you haven't already. All right. The second episode on our top episodes list is episode 2. This was with GC and James from Jersey City. That episode's brought in 152,470 sats. That episode was titled Meetups are the Ultimate Web of Trust. And of course, this has been one of our top episodes. It's just been one of our top episodes since the beginning of the show. You know, we're 20 episodes in, and here it is, still number 2 on the leaderboards. We talk about a lot of good stuff in that episode. A lot of it related to, you know, why is coming in person? Why are these in-person events like so important? And so if you haven't checked out episode 2, definitely go back and check that out. The third one in the list here is episode 14. This is brought in, and of course that was with SourceNode. Episode 14 brought in 113,296 sats, and it was titled Permaculture for Bitcoin Culture with SourceNode from Greenville, South Carolina. And so, of course, you might guess, you know, I don't know, Rev, if that's your favorite episode or not, but it was the episode that's got permaculture in the title. And so if you're down with some of the permaculture stuff that we talk about, which does come up on the regular, we hit on a lot of those topics as well as a whole bunch of other great things in episode 14. So if you haven't caught episode 14, go back and give that one a listen. Fourth place, we've got episode 9, always a favorite. This one was at the top of leaderboards for a long time, now down to fourth, 98,618 sats. Growing slow builds strong community with KC Bitcoiners. And of course, that was with Sir Spencer Wolf of Kansas City, who we, of course, mentioned tonight. And he comes up very frequently because that show, honestly, was very pivotal in our whole understanding of this value for value ecosystem. And so we really appreciate Spencer educating us and kind of holding our hand a little bit and teaching us some of these core principles that have now really embedded themselves into the show. So that was a fantastic episode. Highly recommend you go check that one out. And finally, fifth place, episode 5 with 64,985 sats. Also been on the leaderboards forever. This was our episode with Augie. The meetup is the Farmers Market, Kansas City, Missouri. And so those are our top 5 episodes. If you haven't gone back and listened to those, I would highly recommend it.
So just a little thing to note. I mean, it looks like South Carolina represented big on those episode leaderboards and Kansas City. So Kansas City is kind of the only one that had an opportunity to have two guests from the one meetup culture. But either way, man, that's it. People liked the Kansas City meetup culture and what they had to say, and people liked what the South Carolina folks had to say. Kind of interesting over time to see, you know, what these leaderboards might reveal about the meetup cultures across the country or world.
You have to, you know what I've thought about too, it for all of these leaderboards, or at least the SAT denominated leaderboards, you know, we're in the bear market now. We mentioned that a few times. And so since we denominate everything in SATs, you know, now's the time. Right. You want to get on the leaderboards. You don't want to be waiting until you're in a ripping bull market to donate, you know, 100K sats or something like that to get yourself up at the top. You want to do that in the bear market. Right. So something, you know, I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. You know, maybe we'll have to do something else someday. But for right now, sats are the standard, and we're going to use that as our unit of account here on the show. You won't see dollar signs anywhere on our website. We don't measure things in dollars. We're as long as we can avoid it, we try to as much as possible. All right, next leaderboard, top listeners. We've had a lot of different names for this. These are the ride or dies. These are the core group. These are our top listeners. And so these are the listeners who have boosted the most number of episodes all time. So we have episodes for it. So we have a tie here for first place between, of course, Matthew D. and Perminerd. So since Perminerd went back and got through the boosts of every episode, now it's been him and Matthew D. are the perennials here. It sounds like they're in it for the long haul. So if you want to get onto the top supporters leaderboard, the good news is this leaderboard, we respect ties. So we only are going to read off the top three, but if five people are tied for first, we're going to read off all five. And that'll just be first place. Then we'll read off second place after that. And so we've got a tie for first. So we've got Matthew D. and Perminerd. Boy, and just today I listened to the most recent episode of the Yada podcast with Perminerd and Oshi. And boy, you know, right after I listened to it, I was like, oh, I really had something to say in response to something that Perminerd had said about our show. And now I can't remember what it is. So sorry, Perminerd. But if you haven't had the chance to catch the Yada podcast, definitely go and do that. And I think Matthew D's got the, I forget what it's called. This something paper soap company.
White
or
paper soap. You can get soap and other tallow related products from Matthew D. And Matthew D is actually scheduled to come on the show. So we're going to be hearing about Matthew D's perspective on the Michigan Bitcoin culture coming up here in a little bit.
Definitely looking forward to that one. You know, we've had a few times now, right, where we've had our top supporters come on the show. It's fantastic. And so, yeah. And, you know, we're going to be coming out. There will be more things. Like, hopefully, if you haven't figured that out by now from the way that we're building out the website and rolling out new features, there will be more things. So, you know, we really do want to give value back to our top supporters, and we hope that we're doing that. So this is our small way right now, but there will be more. All right. Second place on our top listeners leaderboard is Noster Gang with 16 episodes boosted. And Noster Gang's been going back. We've been getting boosts from her from some older episodes, which is I always like to see. You know, we like to think a lot of our episodes really are kind of evergreen. You know, we're not in here talking about price or talking about super time sensitive things other than what the next meetup coming up is. So we think a lot of these episodes do stand the test of time. And Noster Gang, maybe you can let us know. You know, I haven't gone back and listened to some of the older episodes, but you have been. So let us know if those things are still holding up here over the last, we're almost up to like 6 months here. So time is flying. And third place, we have Shadrack coming in with 10 episodes boosted. And thank you, Shadrack. Shadrack's been a longtime listener of the show for sure. He's been boosting us, I think, almost from the very beginning. And so thank you so much for your support. You know, we always appreciate the comments that you have. We love reading off your boosts, and we really appreciate the fact that you've been, you know, one of the ride or dies, part of the core group here on the show.
Yeah, biggest thing to pay attention to coming out of Shadrack's realm lately is the Archipelago Alpha release, Archipelago node. Do some digging around, looking to if you're interested in trying out this Archipelago node. It's definitely pretty cool. And Noster Gang is you know, one of the ways that Noster Gang is really adding value to the show now is by not only boosting our podcast, but so many other great high signal podcasts, which now we have the ability to aggregate for our community. So Noster Gang's work is going to be paying off for the local Bitcoiners community as well.
Man, dude, I can't wait to talk about that feature. I don't know. I guess we haven't really talked about it, but I would love, maybe after we get through the leaderboards, I'll spend a minute explaining what it is, because we've got this new feed on the website, and it's not like any feed I've ever seen before. And it was kind of blowing my mind. I was having such a good time vibing it up. As soon as I saw the data, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be amazing. So we will talk about that more, but let's finish up the leaderboards first. So let's move on to our third leaderboard, which is our top boosts. So these are the top boosts that we've ever received, the biggest boosts ever sent to the show. These are our top five biggest boosts of all time. And so the reason why we have this leaderboard, you know, we've talked about, you know, why we have some of these leaderboards and how they play into the value for value, you know, concept and how we're trying to, why we're trying to lean into some of these different ways of recognizing community members. We think that reading off the biggest boosts of all time, I mean, first of all, these boosts are huge. Like, these are mega boosts. And so they deserve some serious shout outs, right? And the coolest thing about these is that people are using them, you know, to promote their own stuff. And, you know, we don't run ads on this podcast. And, you know, maybe you think these are ads. Maybe they're not ads. I don't know. We kind of think that really what they are is they're our community shilling their own stuff. And of course, we want to talk about our community stuff. You know, we love that stuff. And so that's what we're going to talk about. So let's read off the top boosts ever received. So the largest boost we've ever received is 300,000 sats. And that came in via localbitcoiners.com. And that was from Sovereign. And their message on that one was, Sovereign is the geek squad for Bitcoiners and Bitcoin companies. Come check us out at sovereign.io, spelled S-O-V-R-E-I-G-N. Thanks, Rev and Reed. And that was, I believe, that was a show level boost. And so that wasn't on a specific episode, but it was boosted via our website. Second largest boost of all time, also from Sovereign. So Sovereign sent us a second boost here for 200,000 sats, also via the website. And their message on this one is, Sovereign focuses on helping individuals, families, and companies integrate Bitcoin into their personal and professional lives with confidence, recognizing the crucial role it plays in the broader economic picture. If you want to dig deeper into self-custody, node running, or point-of-sale implementation, Sovereign has your back. Thanks to all the meetup organizers out there for keeping the grassroots Bitcoin ethos alive. Go to sovereign.io, spelled S-O-V-R-E-I-G-N, for support on your Bitcoin journey. And that boost, you know, we've already talked about it, but that boost came in on episode 15 with BTC Russell, Privacy is Sovereignty. And so those sats are all going to make their way to the Samurai developers' families. And we really hope that they can have a little bit of value to make ends meet and to do what they got to do to hold the ship steady here during this challenging time for them. All right, third biggest boost of all time is 105,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com. And this one's from BTC Jackalope. His message is, escape to the Listening Loft cabin in Wilmington, Vermont, a modern two-bedroom retreat featuring a signature vinyl record listening loft, luxury bedding, and a peaceful deck, perfect for skiing at Mount Snow or a relaxing getaway. Pay in Bitcoin and get 20% off. Visit listeningcabin.com for more information. And he boosted episode 2, Meetups Are the Ultimate Web of Trust, Jersey City, which he, and I've mentioned this many times, that's his favorite episode, or at least it was at the time that he boosted it. And so this was his way of doing two things at once. He got to promote his favorite episode, throw a little bit of love towards GC and James because they get their splits of this. And then also he got to promote his product, which is, you know, he's got this Airbnb style place and he gets to promote that. So if you've got something like that, you know, maybe you could boost the show and we'll read it out. If it's big enough, we'll read it out every single week. All right, next on the list, we've got 100,000 sats via localbitcoiners.com. And this was also from Sovereign. And here was their message on that one. It says, here's what I'm thinking. Sovereign focuses on helping individuals, families, and companies integrate Bitcoin into their personal and professional lives with confidence, recognizing the crucial role it plays in the broader economic picture. If you want to dig deeper into self-custody, node running, or point-of-sale implementation, Sovereign has your back. Thanks to all the meetup organizers out there for keeping the grassroots Bitcoin ethos alive. Go to sovereign.io, spelled S-O-V-R-E-I-G-N, for support on your Bitcoin journey. And that boost came in for Permaculture for Bitcoin Culture with SourceNode, Greenville, South Carolina. And so thank you very much, Sovereign. Sovereign's been huge for us. You know, these three boosts alone, you know, one of them is going to hopefully help out the Samurai developers. Those other two, you know, a lot of those sats are going out to these other meetups. And so we hope that they use the sats wisely. And of course, we have been using our split of those to help support running this show. And so thank you so much for all of your boosts. But we do still have one more. So our last boost on the list here is 69,421 sats via Fountain. And the message is, attend your local meetup, and if there isn't one in your area, start one. Local Bitcoiners is an essential part of my 40 HPW. And signed, BTC Wrestle. And that also was boosted to episode 15, Privacy is Sovereignty with BTC Wrestle. All right, so those are our leaderboards. We do have some kind of sort of unofficial leaderboards that we like to talk about. We like to shout out the streamers. I'll just run down the list here. This is pretty much the same list. The sat totals keep increasing though. These folks are still streaming us sats and we love our streamers. So thank you for continuing to do that. At the top of the list here, we've got Logs with 11,388 sats via Fountain. We've got Chad F, who continues to stream us sats. He's got 9,628 sats via Castomatic. And then a whole bunch of other friends that we hear from all the time as well, like Pleb to Polymath, We All Eat, used to read a lot, Hot Wax Social Club. So thank you all for streaming us those sats. And we also like to throw a little bit of love at least to our top zappers. Not a lot of change in this list. So consider doing some mega zaps. This is a list that would be pretty easy to make your way right onto pretty quick. Number one here on the list for top zappers is Cleveland Bitcoin. They sent us a big zap. They sent us a 21,000 sat zap. So their total is 21,250 sats. But then next on the list is Paul. Paul sent us 2,100 sats. We've got our own local Bitcoiners account. Maybe we're going a little bit wild, sending ourselves some sats. We got Nuts About You, Supreme. So yeah, we've got some zappers on here, but zap us some sats. You know, the sats that go to, if you zap our notes, those go to our, Rev and I, we've got kind of a shared wallet. And so those go right back out to the community. We call that like our V4V bucket. And we like to use those sats to really give sats back to the community. So if you zap us, those sats are just going to get churned right back out. All right.
So is that the segue into some of those sats going right back out now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, thank you. So we've talked about the last couple episodes, right? We want to hear about your meetups. And we've talked about how important we think that it is to also list your meetup on Noster. Not just, you know, it's important to list your meetup wherever you think is where you're going to get the most. You know, one thing we've actually learned throughout the show, or I've learned, it almost kind of feels like it's regional, like which apps get the most traffic. Like we've heard some areas like Luma gets the most traffic. Like that's where they're finding their normies is on Luma. Other places, it's meetup.com. And I shouldn't have said normies. I just meant it's just where people go to find places to hang out with other people. And if those people happen to be Bitcoiners, great. You know, that's just where you look for stuff. But we also think it's really valuable to list your meetup on Noster. And hopefully our website is going to start to show you a little bit about why. The reason why we think it's important is because if you list your meetup on Noster, we can all find it. It's free. You don't need to sign up for it. And look, you don't need to use this for like RSVPs and stuff. You know, you can keep using Satlantis or whatever you want to use for your RSVPs. But if you just also list it on Noster, now we can start aggregating that and we can really start finding all of the meetups. And so we put this call out there. We said, you know, we really want you to share your meetup. We have all these new tools. We have our meetups page on the website. And if you boost your meetup via that page, and you share out your Noster event that you created, well, we want to give that value back. And so did we start? I think we've just done 1 week, right? We're doing 21,000 sat giveaway. For anyone who lists their meetup on the website, we're going to pick one at random. And I think this time we have three that aren't Rev or myself. Like, we listed ours, but that's more just to like show you what it's like. So other than the ones that Rev and I listed, we have, let me read it off the actual site here. We've got Indy Bitcoin Meetup. So Indy Bitcoin Meetup number 58. This is on Wednesday, July 15th from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And that's at Union Jack Pub, 921 Broad Ripple Avenue. So thank you, Indy Bitcoin, for boosting your meetup. And we're excited to talk about it. The next one we've got from someone other than Rev or myself would be Perminerd. So thank you, Perminerd. Oh, and you know what? Actually, I think that might have been the thing that he mentioned on the last Yada episode, was that he was trying to boost his meetup. It wasn't showing up right away. Some of these things, Perminerd, just, you know, in case you're listening back, which you probably will, some of the tools on the website do take a little bit of time. You know, one thing that we've noticed is, and maybe you've noticed it too, especially with a lot of the other stuff, meaning like not just your regular Kind One feed. But if you're doing like events or these NIP99 listings and things like that, some of these things take a long time to load, like hitting all the relays, and we're trying to go back in time and do this big historical search, and it takes a lot of time. And so we have actually implemented some caching tools to help speed this up. So we basically are trying to do these searches kind of in the background, but what it means is that our page doesn't update all the time. And I think this page only updates every hour. Actually, you know, it says at the top, this page only updates daily. So that's probably why you didn't see it right away, but it's here now. So Perminerd posted the Bitcoin Comex Valley Meetup. And that is on, their next one is on Tuesday, July 21st, 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. And that is Pacific time. And that would be at Chalk Spirits, Tapas, Billiards, and that's at 1590 Cliff Avenue in Courtenay, British Columbia. So thank you, Perminerd. And you're in the running here to win the 21,000 sats. And the last one we've got is from Battersea Bitcoiners. So Battersea Bitcoiners posted their meetup on July. Oh, Battersea Bitcoin. Sorry, Battersea Bitcoiners July 26th. But the meetup is on July 22nd. From 6:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. And, you know, that is in the United Kingdom. So if you're over in the UK, you want to go check out Battersea Bitcoiners, you can come to the website and you can click on the location there and get yourself some directions. Okay, so those are the three. We did have a few other. Did you want to talk about some of the other meetups that got sent in that didn't end up on this page?
We'll get to them when we do the boosts, because they were boosted in. Yeah. But the big difference is that the key difference between these meetups and the meetups that we'll be reading off in the boosts is that these are kind of like featured meetups because they were able to make a Nostra event to go along with that meetup, which now qualifies them for this 21K sat zap.
And I will say, so since we rolled this out, right, we're kind of trying to make a big deal out of this. We led off one of the episodes with it, I'm pretty sure. We've gotten some feedback. And some of the feedback is, what you're doing is kind of confusing. And you have multiple areas on your website that are kind of sort of doing the same thing. And that's all great feedback. And so we are taking that into account. We have some ideas of how to make this more obvious of like what's going on here. And like, how do you make a meetup like special? Like, what do you mean boost my meetup? Like, what even does that mean? So we hear you. You know, this is feedback. It has been taken in. It's just not something we can churn overnight, but we will. And maybe even by next week, we'll have possibly a better solution for this. But I think for now, what that means is we are going to spin a wheel. So we're on wheelofnames.com, and that's, you can go do your own research if you want about the randomness of this random number generator. But I've got the three names plugged in here. And what do you think? Should I give it a spin?
Spin that wheel.
Let's go. Okay, so we got what's right on a border. Battersea Bitcoiners takes home the prize. 21,000 sets. And so before this, I guess probably before this episode airs, Battersea Bitcoiners, you should expect to see 21,000 sats show up in your wallet. We will find your note that you boosted this, your meetup on, and we will zap it. So thank you so much for using the tools, for learning. And like I said, this was confusing, but guess what? You figured it out. And so thank you for doing that and for figuring out you got 21,000 sats out of it. So thank you so much. And hopefully we will make this stuff easier, but that's part of the reason for, that's why we're doing this big sat giveaway, is because now that people are using the tools, now we get the real feedback. And so now that we've got the feedback, we'll get this all ironed out. So thank you. We appreciate it. Okay. So I guess before we head into the boosts, we have been doing a lot of updates to the website, but I'm kind of feeling like we might be a little bit short on time here. So we will have to save, I think, some of those meetup or some of the website updates that we've been rolling out maybe for next time.
We'll probably find some time to talk about them piecemeal through these boosts, I think.
All right,
we
cool.
can kind of find ways to discuss some of the stuff. But yeah, I guess, does that mean we're getting ready to recognize some boosters?
Let's transition to boosts. Thank you.
Righty. Okay, so I'm not in exactly the right place. Here we go. So the first boost we have, 420 sats via localbitcoiners.com. Thank you for boosting from the website. And I believe this NPUB isn't rendering, but I believe it's from Logues. And that is, he's got three race car emojis and a meetup attached, which we've already read off, but it's Indie Bitcoin Meetup number 58. July 15th at Union Jack Pub, and all the information you need to get to that meetup is linked right there in the Noster note. It's available on our website. You can find it on our NPUB, on our feed. That's the cool thing about this, is that meetup information is now in many, many places. So thank you. I'm assuming it's Logues for boosting the meetup and making the Noster event for it. And Logues is not running the Indie meetup, so he took the liberty of just getting all the information about that meetup, made the event, and there you go. Now everybody gets to have access to that information because of his work. And he could have won, he almost won 21,000 sats for the effort too. Next up, we got 420 sats via Fountain from Undisciplined. And I guess I should read the episode that Logues boosted. When it was just a show level boost.
Show level
no
boost.
No particular episode from that meetup. Boost from Logues. Okay, so next we got 421 sats via Fountain from Undisciplined. Following up on your comments about Stacker News, it's not that they want it to be siloed away from Noster. It started before Noster was a thing, and they're building integration. Right now, it's similar to Fountain. If you have an MPUB, your posts can go out to Noster relays and be broadcast as notes, but not everyone does, and their posts live entirely on the site. I believe further integration is on the dev's roadmap, and that was from Local Bitcoiners, Permaculture for Bitcoin Culture with SourceNode, Greenville, South Carolina, episode 14. So maybe Undisciplined was going back and listening to our boost section about, I do remember talking about Stacker News at some point and being, maybe it came off as being frustrated that they're not a Noster client outright. And so it sounds like they're working their way there. And I wasn't aware of this. And I think we actually discovered, I was wondering why we weren't ever seeing these Stacker News, Noster notes. And I think it's because the Stacker News Noster notes are actually not kind one notes. They come in as long form notes, which is actually maybe a good opportunity to talk about some of these, website features that we've been building out. But thank you for the boost. Before we get into that Undisciplined, I appreciate the clarification on that. Like I said, I guess I wasn't aware.
Yeah, I wasn't aware either. And I learned kind of just like you said, I was just learning this because so one of the, we have talked about on the show before that we had these community feeds and not all of them had been built out yet at the time. But now we've got four feeds that are up and running and working pretty well. Possibly there's still a little bit of bugs that need to get ironed out here and there. I noticed one this morning I was working with Claude trying to get straightened out. But one of the feeds is the long form note feed. And so you can go there and now you can see a whole bunch of Stacker News posts because these are, you know, what those feeds are is they're posts from our community and only our community. And so this isn't we decided not to do the Kind One feeds. And we kind of thought, you know, Kind One feeds, everybody's already got your daily drivers and we've got the follow packs. If you want to follow the community, we've got easy tools to go and do that. And by the way, I did want to mention, if you're not following, if you're a regular listener to the show, highly recommend you just head to our supporters page. You can like almost one click, just follow all of our show supporters. I've been having a fantastic time. I wasn't following everybody who's been boosting the show. And now that I am, dude, I've been seeing, we've got some real high signal, Noster posters here. And so if you're not following everybody, definitely head to the supporters page. It's an easy way to do that.
So yeah, Stacker News, apparently their Noster integration makes all these, all their notes, long form notes, which now show up on our, long form notes section of our website in the feeds. Looks like we got a duplicate boost from Undisciplined. So thanks for doubling up there. Next we got 111 sats via Fountain from Noster Gang. I love how you guys are just building. Shaka emoji. Recording the revolution with Shannon, Columbus, Ohio, episode 19. And that's right. Noster Gang, we are building, and we mentioned it a little bit before, but this is another opportunity to talk about some of the feeds. And so we've got this podcast boost feed.
Should we talk about it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because Noster Gang is, that's a person who's pushing.
This is true.
Really,
this is
weighting
true.
A lot of the value of the of where these podcasts show up on this feed.
All right. So this is the, I don't know, I'm like, I totally was geeking out about this over the weekend when I was putting this together. So we have a feed. So, all right, let me back up. Podcast boosting. Okay. This is part of the podcasting 2.0 spec. You can boost a show. This is directly related to that. Anyway, recently, and I don't know exactly when this started happening, but, Fountain, Boost Me Bitch, our website, those are a handful of places. Maybe there are more. When you boost a show, it will also push it out as a Noster note. And so they have some Noster integration into their podcasting 2.0 boosts. And so when you do that, now we can find your boosts because they all live somewhere. They all live on Noster and it makes it way easier. Now, all of a sudden, you're not just talking to, you know, a lot of podcasting 2.0 guys will read off the boosts off a helipad on their computers. And that's really just, it's reading directly from their node. So that is like a local only feed. And it's great for a podcaster because you can just read off your own feed and you read it on the show and everybody can listen to it on the show. But we think adding another dimension to that is makes it kind of even cooler, which is now you can post it to everybody. And so now the person who's posting it, they can post it to their audience as well. And now if you're part of the local Bitcoiners community, well, we can see it as well. And so we built this feed that basically goes back and it searches your Kind One note history for these very specific type of Kind One notes, which are Noster boosts. And I can't remember. I've said on another episode, I get so confused about the NIP numbers. So I think it's NIP 73, but I definitely could be wrong about that. I am not great with the numbers. And so we collect all these NIP, let's just say these NIP 73 notes, and we turned them into a feed and we combined it with pulling in the data for the episode that you boosted from the podcast index. And now we can just read from the RSS feeds all the podcast information. So we now have a community feed of podcast boosts, which is really just a list of episodes, podcast episodes that our community found valuable. And one of the coolest things you can do with this podcast boost feed is you can sort the list. So this is, I talked about doing some indexing. And so one of the benefits of that is that now this stuff is like pretty fast and snappy. And so you can, it's defaulted to the latest boost. So you can see right now our latest boost is on Fundamentals of Fundamentals with, that was a Fundamentals show, obviously. This is his episode with Rob Hamilton. And so we've already got two boosts from our community, from Plebeianon and from God's Death. And both of them have comments there. So you can do a little drop down. You can read what their comments are and you can interact with their Nostra notes. But you can also listen to that podcast episode. You can boost that podcast episode. So now you can boost other podcasts from our website. And so a lot of that code, I could not have possibly built this feed without Boost Me Bitch. The stuff that Chad F has been building was hugely instrumental in me building out this feed. I was constant, every question that the clanker had, I was like, dude, just go check what Boost Me Bitch did and just do it that way. Like, he's already figured this stuff out. Like, I don't know how the best way to do this is, but Chad already figured it out. So why don't you just go check out what he did and we'll just do it that way. And so thank you, Chad, F, you know, all the work that you did was hugely instrumental here. And I know he's noticed. You know, we talked a little bit and so I think he appreciates this feed as well. So I'm really excited about it. Play around with it. Go check out the boost, the podcast boost feed. Check out the sorting features. Like, you can check out like the most, which episodes have received the most boosts from our community or the most sats from our community. It's really interesting. I highly recommend.
So if we're trying to build cultural capital here, this is, you know, the podcasts are kind of at the base of that intellectual capital, right? This is why we do the 40 HPW, get entropy in your 40 HPW, is to get a lot of information in aggregate. And so if we can see all the other information that the people in our community are getting, and we get that information too, now we've all got the same information. Now we've got cultural capital. So this is like a very, very cool resource for everybody to check out. And it also creates an incentive for you to boost podcasts. Maybe they're not recognizing value for value and reading it off and, you know, recognizing all their supporters or anything, but now you can just boost the podcast in order to ping it into this feed and let other people know in our community that this is something you think is worth listening to.
And it really highlights that we've talked about it before, that there are these other podcasts that are like very close. Like, we know a lot of our community listens to and we listen to them, and dude, it really comes through here. You can really see which podcasts are that we share an audience with, because that's really what this is. It's a measure of how much of an audience do we share with these other shows.
Anyway. That's true too. Yeah, we're all, they're all part of our community. Next, we got 111 sats via Fountain from Bullish Clips. Funnily enough, I didn't know what NIP-A0 was until y'all mentioned voicemails in episode 18. Then I remembered that the Noster CEO, Derek Ross, created yakback.app a while back, which is geared towards voice messages under a minute. I know how bullish you are on Noster integration, so when you do add support for voicemails on the site, it'll appear on Yakback and Circle, or hashtag Circle. This is why I Noster. And that was on Recording the Revolution with Shannon, Columbus, Ohio, episode 19. So yeah, thanks Bullish for letting us know that this is a real thing that we can do with Noster directly integrated. Super cool. Sounds like people would be interested in playing around with leaving some voicemails. I don't know how we work that into this section, but we'll think about it and see what kind of games we can play. So y'all can tell us some stories about your latest meetup. I think the best idea is doing the no agenda style, you know, just calling in from the meetup itself. And you can say like, hey, we're so-and-so. This is Biddish from Cleveland Bitcoin meetup. And then everyone's just like, hey, you know, and just, it'd just be something fun like that. But thanks for that.
Definitely on Bullish. The list.
We'll think about it a little bit more. If anyone else has ideas, let us know. 221 sats via Fountain. Hashtag Circle is a web client with NIP07 login, so it can be used on mobile as well. I use it on iOS with the, and that was, that's all we got there. So I'm assuming this is bullish again, letting us know that
seems like
hashtag Circle is a web client, but it can also be used on mobile, probably through the, just pinning it to your home screen or whatever. And
like
so that
PWA.
Was on, yeah, PWA. That, thank you. That's what I mean. Recording the Revolution with Shannon, Columbus, Ohio, episode 19. Next up, we got 1,237 sats via fountain from God's Death. God's Death says, thank you, gentlemen. And that was on Recording the Revolution with Shannon, Columbus, Ohio, episode 19. Good to see you back boosting again, God's Death. And now we can see that you've been boosting other stuff like the Fundamentals of Fundamentals podcast that just came out. So isn't that cool? God's Death is another prolific podcast booster. And now you're going to be able to see all the podcasts that God's Death likes through this community's feed on our website. And you'll get the same signal that he's getting in his 40 HPW.
Hell yeah.
Next up, we got 2,121 sats via fountain from KT, from Katie. Join us for our first ever third Tuesday monthly Green Bay, Wisconsin and Fox River area meetup. All right, a brand new meetup has been born, you guys. Tuesday, July 21st at 6 p.m. at All Shook Up Tavern. Pizza will be provided and drinks available for purchase with BTC or fiat. This will be a casual social event to connect local Bitcoiners and future Bitcoiners together. Let's build our local network. And that's on Recording the Revolution with Shannon, Columbus, Ohio, episode 19. And so this is a really cool story. Katie kind of put the word out there saying, hey, I want to start a meetup. If anyone wants to help, I could use it to get it going over here in this Green Bay, Fox River area in Wisconsin. And I was able to kind of reach out to some of the group chats that I'm in and see if there was anybody that was in that area to work with her on that. And I ended up finding somebody who was interested. I connected them, and here they are. They're starting to meet up together, and the first one's on Tuesday, July 21st, 6 p.m. at All Shook Up Tavern. So a great example of like, hey, if you even are looking to start a meetup and you don't know who you can start it with, you can boost the show looking for it, and maybe I'll be able to connect you. Maybe some of the other community members will step up and join you on that effort. So thanks, Katie, for the boost and letting everyone know about this awesome new meetup. Everyone should go check it out. The Milwaukee crew, if you're listening here, that's not too far for you guys. You can check it out. I don't know how far it is from Madison. I know there's a Madison meetup, but anyways, check it out.
It was the dream of the show when we first started, right?
It's getting happening.
New meetup started. It's happening. So thank you so much for going through and actually following through, right? Not just saying it, but actually doing it. It means a lot. Thank you so much.
Yeah. And everyone in Green Bay and Fox River is going to get a lot out of having this great community asset and a new Bitcoin meetup to attend and participate in. Next, we got 3,400 sats via localbitcoiners.com out of 5,000 sats intended. One leg failed. From Matthew D. And Matthew D. did DM us and said that he saw which leg failed, and he went and sent the sats directly to that intended recipient. So that's really cool of you to make even that extra effort, Matthew D., to get the sats where you want, where they were going to go up based on the splits and everything. And it's cool that local Bitcoiners will tell you, you know, where the sats didn't, you know, gives you this information. Really love that a lot of people are boosting from the website as well. Just lets us know that all this work we are doing to build the website out and add all these features, you know, you guys are in there and you're clicking around in the website and you're using it. So thanks, Matthew D. And Matthew D. says, glad to hear cool things happening in that other city south of the border, home of that one school, Columbus. Much love from Ann Arbor, home of the good guys. Smiley emoji. So there must be some sort of sporting rivalry between the schools of whatever school is in Ann Arbor and whatever school is in Columbus, Ohio.
Wasn't Matthew D. on one of the episodes, I can't remember which one, but he was like, yeah, like Cleveland's cool, but Michigan's better. I can't remember which one. Yeah. Was that Ohio?
Matthew Diaz is, must really love Michigan and not really love Ohio. And maybe it's from this sporting rivalry.
Some other school that might be there. Yeah.
Yeah. Gotcha. Love it. You guys can take shots back and forth through our boost section all day. I don't mind. And so that was from Recording the Revolution with Shannon, Columbus, Ohio, episode 19. I'm really looking forward to talking with Matthew D and really showcasing what there is to like about the Michigan Bitcoin culture. That's coming up here. I'll say it again. Next, we got 101 sats via Fountain from Noster Gang again. And they say, I miss the roller skating heydays. And that was on the meetup is the Farmers Market, Kansas City, Missouri, Ohio, or Kansas City, Missouri, episode 5. Wow, sorry about that. And that was with Augie.
Got Ohio on the brain.
Yeah, man. Too many Ohio too much. But so, yeah, so Noster Gang is going back and boosting old episodes.
Yeah.
But they're giving context to prove that they are actually listening to it. Because if you go back and listen to Meetup is the Farmer's Market, episode 5 with Augie, you'll find out that they were just getting started with they were talking about the next meetup was at a roller rink. So, there you go, Noster Gang. You're much like Shadrach, proving that you did listen. Otherwise, you're not boosting. But, Permanerd's way of just boost sprinting to get on that leaderboard is fine too. Because as we say every time,
it's all part of the game.
By boosting each episode, you are giving a little bit of sats to that Bitcoin community too. And so you're spreading the sats out amongst the Bitcoin culture and just showing that you care about Bitcoin culture in general by getting on that leaderboard. Whether you listen to the episodes or not, surely we prefer you listen to all of it because there's so much you're going to learn. But if you obviously don't have time and you want to get on the leaderboard, go ahead and boost them all. Next, we got 500 sats via localbitcoiners.com from Battersea Bitcoiners. And this message is saying, boosting my meetup from localbitcoiners.com/meetups. And they have the Noster event in here, Battersea Bitcoiners, July 26th. And actually, it's which one's correct. So it's July 26th in the title, but then the date of the meetup is July 22nd.
Well, the 26th is the year.
Oh, July. Oh, I see. So
yeah,
it's probably
I got confused
meetup
by
number
that too.
26. It's for Battersea Bitcoiners meetup in July, the 26th meetup overall, and that's on July 22nd.
Or
we figured it out, Battersea
July,
Bitcoiners.
It could mean July 2026. I don't know.
Oh, man. You're really making us use our brains here with this one. Goodness gracious.
No, I did get confused by it too. But yes,
no,
July
I think
22nd.
Actually you're probably right. It's probably July year 2026. But yeah, the big point is that Wednesday, July 22nd, you can go to Little Bianca, 132 North Cote Road, Clapham Junction, London, Borough of Wadsworth, Greater London, England, Southwest, 116QZ, United Kingdom. What an address. Great.
You were braver than I was. I just said United Kingdom.
I didn't know what I was getting into. I didn't look ahead. I just started reading it. What a tongue twister of a meetup, of a boost. But thank you so much for Battersea Bitcoiners. 21,000 sats is going to be heading your way for that boost there. So it was definitely worth the effort and listening to me struggle through reading all of that. Okay. Next, we got 420 sats via localbitcoiners.com from Alice A. Sacktown Bitcoiners monthly education meetup, Thursday, July 23rd. Find the random door on the side of the library building. And so there's a link here to a meetup.com meetup. I'll click it and see what it looks like. So yeah, Thursday, July 23rd, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. at North Notamas Library, Sacramento, California. We typically meet at the library community room on the fourth Thursday of each month. All are welcome, and anyone new to Bitcoin is encouraged to come ask questions or just listen in to better understand the many benefits to humanity Bitcoin offers. We will also facilitate a community goods and services exchange as we start to grow our circular economy. Bring anything you'd like to exchange for sats. We've had grass-fed beef, organic veggies, honey, jewelry, books, pesto, anything really. Get creative. Beautiful. love to hear that they're trying to build the circular economy over there at Sactown, Bitcoiners in Sacramento. Thanks for letting us know about that, Alice A. Did you have anything, Reed?
West Coast is on the list. We've been trying to hit these regions, and we've been talking a lot about trying to find a way to get West Coast coming up, maybe towards the end of the summer, something like that.
Yeah, we'll see. You know, like people, we have plenty of friends that we can talk to. We know a lot of meetup organizers and stuff, but a lot of the Sacramento, Alice A had been kind of poking us to talk with the, I think it was Alice A. Somebody, if it wasn't Alice A, it was somebody who was poking us to talk to Sacramento. And then I've been reached out by another guy who's been listening to the podcast saying, hey, there's this cool thing going on over there near Sacramento. And so we're probably going to be trying to make an effort to schedule some recordings with that in that direction. So the point being is, like, if you got a meetup going on and you want to get on the show, you know, you can just interact with us and let us know and let us know that you're enthusiastic about talking about what's going on at your meetup and what your culture's like. And we'll try and head in that direction. Unify the region. I think this last group of this sort of Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana group really got to know each other. They're connected now because we've recorded with all those guys. And so I'd like to do the same thing elsewhere. But thank you, Alice A, for letting us know about the Sactown Bitcoiners monthly education meetup, July 23rd. You can find the meetup.com link on the boost. And finally, the last boost of the night. 100 sats via localbitcoiners.com from Alice A. And Alice A is saying, clicking around on the local Bitcoiners website. And that was just a local Bitcoiner. It was just a boost on the website. So thanks for clicking around and playing around with the local Bitcoiners website. Seems like you figured out how to do some cool stuff with the boosting and everything over there. It will continue to be a cool place to keep clicking around as we add more of these community feeds and features. Yeah, so
we hope we're making websites cool again. That's kind of, you know, being able to plug a website into Noster, just it unlocks a possibility that hadn't existed before. And so I really, you know, Rev said it before, I will say it too. I really appreciate you guys using the website and giving us feedback. We've been getting lots of feedback. What's working, what's not working, what's too confusing, bug reports. A bunch of different things that you guys have been providing value back to us. And so we're taking all that feedback and we're doing the best we can with it. But yeah, love to see you guys using the website. Thank you. All right, man. Well, another great episode in the books. It was such a good time, chatting with the Chicago Bitcoin Collective. Boy, they, you know, I know because you've talked about them before and you've gone to their, and I think they've been part of some of your meetup stories, but I would say I did not fully appreciate the magnitude of what they have going on there. It sounds absolutely ridiculously amazing. And so it was a great time hearing from those guys and hearing about all the cool stuff that they got going on. I don't know, just an understatement. It's just so incredible, like all the moving parts that they've put in place and being able to utilize that asset to the fullest extent. Boy, that was a great episode. I'm really looking forward. Even I'm going to listen to it back. I'm really looking forward to hearing about it even again.
You know, and the Chicago Bitcoiners have been talking about this mythical space that everyone can get into and work and cooperate and collaborate together for a long time, for years. And, you know, they did it. It's there. It exists now. And it's badass. And it's just getting started. Like,
yeah,
and
man.
So, yeah, keep paying attention. Go find your way over there. You can be a member for $21 a month. If you're remote, you just want to support what they're doing, you go to the ChicagoBitcoinCollective.com. You can join their membership program there for $21 a month. You know, you can support, you know, what they're doing, even if you're not coming to the meetups and stuff.
All right, man. Well, that was a good episode. Hopefully you guys all enjoyed it. And we will talk to you guys next time.
Roll the outro.
Episode complete. If you run a Bitcoin meetup and want to talk about it here, reach out. Check the show notes for contact info, link to meetup organizer resources on GitHub, and more. Send us a boost of any size and advertise your next meetup. We'll read it out on the next episode. And remember, attend your local meetup or start your own. Local Bitcoiners are always just one meetup away.